Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Matrix Mouth Miller.
How you doing there, Blake Buck?
I'm doing good. We've also got Justin Ficarotta of Stank Sauce fame.
Yo, what's happening?
And this week is Comic-Con.
And it's also our 50th show.
Ow, ow!
50 shows.
Ow, ow!
50 shows.
Peachy, I want some, like, applause, you know, women orgasming noises here. Whatever you want to put in.
Have fun with that.
Slowly into my vagina.
That's right.
So we got a lot of stuff to cover this week, and first up, we got a battle.
TK, this is the best damn podcast ever. How you doing? you thought you got away from us, didn't you? All right, well, okay, TK, listen now. This is a very, very special show because this is our 50th show. Are you aware of that? Good. Well, you're going to make us another present. Because that is our battle today. We want a monument of some sort, and since you are our resident artist, we want you to create a visage, the three of us, a veristic rendering of us, doing battle with the forces of evil, and I will leave the rest up to you. Please us. Just make us a piece of art that we like, that features us prominently doing something cool. Yeah, you can do that, right? Okay, good. Well, we will call you back in an hour. Good luck.
This is the greatest job ever.
We have a present? We want another one.
I want that shit.
Done.
I love their reactions. Oh, fuck. That's everybody. Like...
And no, it's never happiness.
No. It's always dread, foreboding.
All right, we'll hear from him in an hour. And speaking of which, it's time for the news for Wednesday, July 29th, 2009.
Now, everybody, we got so much news because of Comic-Con that we've just got... And if you could see our wiki right now, it's just a shitload of links. So we're just going to rapid-fire these things off. A lot of things happening. A lot of things...
I know, it's like a direct opposite from last week where it was absolutely nothing.
That's right. So, anyway, first off, Grand Theft Auto film is all but ruled out. We got Dan Houser, who's the CEO over there, Rockstar or whatever. And he is complaining that they could not condense the open world... crime nature of Grand Theft Auto into a two-hour movie.
Okay.
I think that is a bunch of bullshit, first of all.
That is bullshit.
That's bullshit. Look.
First of all, the story in that game, people talk about how it's the... I've read somewhere that said Grand Theft Auto is one of the most gripping pieces of multimedia to come out, you know, this millennia. Something absolutely retarded. I mean, the story in that game, it's just like a copy of Sopranos or any of these, like, mafia
monsters. Scarface.
Yeah, they're all the same.
Okay, first of all, he needs to take his shit up off that pedestal that he's put it on, right? And he's like, oh, well, we have to maintain, you know, creative control and, you know.
Well, that's true to a point, but it's Grand Theft Auto. You know what ties your games together? Stealing cars.
And beating women.
It's not exactly a, you know, tried and true thing you can't mess with.
Yeah.
And furthermore... If anybody's... Vic, have you played all the way through Grand Theft Auto 4?
I've played exactly, like, 25 minutes into Grand Theft Auto 4, and the driving was shit, and the walking was shit, and I was like, no, fuck this.
it
down.
There's this one part that, you know, they talk about how the characters are all so real, and everything's so real. Later on in the game, there's this character, I forget his name now. But he's like Nico's friend from back at home, except now he's a little different because he talks like this and he wears pink. And guess what, guys? I'm gay. It's like, oh, really? This is a real piece. This game is so intense because it's real. All right, guys, let's go kill some mobsters. I hope I don't get a dick in my mouth.
So. That's Blake every morning, his little monologue. He bursts out of his room.
Time to do podcasts.
But one thing I really like down here is a quote he had. It says, "If we ever decide to do a film, it will be because we have resolved our creative doubts and we're retaining enough control to ensure that the movie will be terrible." Wait a minute. "And while retaining enough control to ensure that if the movie is terrible, at least we know we ruined the property ourselves." Not kind of like that. Taking responsibility. They're like, look.
It'll be our fault.
If this movie's going to fuck up, it's going to be our fault. I like that. So it doesn't look like GTA, the movie, is happening anytime soon. Because they say the game's too strong.
Didn't Uwe say that he would gladly make a Grand Theft Auto game if presented with the opportunity?
We need to get him back on the show.
I know. We need to call up Uwe again.
Did I tell you I finally saw Postal?
Really?
Oh, it's great. All right. Now look, you can watch Blood Rain and be like, oh, it's great, like, snicker, snicker, right? No. Postal is a legitimately funny movie, and not only that, it's our kind of humor. Like, it's real over the top, very, very crude. Like, parts of it are dumb. Parts of it are kind of slow, but there are some genuinely hilarious. Like, oh, at this one part, you know, who's the guy who makes Postal? Something.
Vince Desi.
Oh, Vince. All right. So at one point, they're in Germantown, and Uwe Boll, like the director, and he shoots Vince Desi in the dick. Like, are you kidding me? It doesn't get any better than that. So no GTA film. Look, only if Uwe directs.
Only.
That should be the stipulation. All right, Mass Effect 2 importing hundreds of Mass Effect decisions. BioWare has been abundantly clear that the sci-fi space opera Mass Effect... sci-fi space opera, all right, marketing buzz, is destined to be a trilogy. And apparently, let's see, when you're first playing the game, everything you do in the setting is so variable that the history of the progress that you did will affect certain things on a certain planet. So apparently,
dude, whatever. All right, the only choice you get to make in that game is if you get to have sex with that woman or not.
No,
that's it. That's it. That's the two, like, that's the two tubes you drive down. Sex tube or no sex tube.
The sex tube or the jerking off tube.
Right, exactly.
I remember when I was in, like, you know, seventh grade, I heard about this sex tube. One day I'm going to find it. I've been in the no sex tube for too long. Anyway, so apparently the decisions you made in Mass Effect 1 are going to affect the decisions you make in things that happen in Mass Effect 2.
All right, you know what's going to happen?
I think it's kind of cool, now, personally. I think it's kind of cool.
If it's true,
dude,
I think...
Dude, your level is going to carry over. It's going to read your memory card and see your level. Oh, you played Mass Effect 1. Good job.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Right.
You get a teddy bear in Mass Effect 2.
That's how all these games are. It's either, I mean, we talked about this before. Either you're super bad or you're super good. Like, well, my jank of the week coming up is Spider-Man Web of Shadows. But I've been playing it, and either I'm good spider or bad spider. That's it. There's nothing in between. There's no, you know, real morality. I'm either the black suit or the red suit.
See, that's, I think, where GTA really shines. Like, it's put on the player to make those decisions regarding morality. You have that ambiguity. You can go through that game and not, you know, shoot very few people, or you can just go shooting lots of people.
I think in the old Grand Theft Autos, it's true, but I think you do have to kill, like, I think in Grand Theft Auto, I think San Andreas, you never had to kill, like, any people that weren't, like, criminals.
Right, but I guess what I'm trying to say is the open nature of that game
caters
more to...
You are forced to kidnap people in GTA 4.
Yeah, yeah, but you're not given, like... Choice A, red suit. Choice B, black suit. Right? You're given an objective, and you can accomplish that by shooting everybody, or, you know, not. So I think open world games like that cater more to the moral choice kind of.
I mean, even games like Fallout, like which do have, like, you know, like they totally built up the neutral, you know, point of view. But, like, that was pretty much if you did good shit half the time and evil shit the other half.
Right.
Time.
Right. I mean, the problem is it shouldn't be a paradigm of, like, oh, I'm going to pick bad or good. It should just be like, I'm going to go through this game and make choices. Then again, I guess people are going to play it bad or good anyway. So I don't really know if there's a good way to solve it. Well, anyway, Mass Effect comes out March 31st, 2010. So we'll see how this pans out for it. All right, take us.
All right. So XNA Game Studio 3.1 is going live. It will be live with the new the dashboard, which we talked about last time, which is going to come out August 11th.
Who?
So the big changes to XNA Game Studio 3.1 is obviously now they're going to rename the whole thing. Like, instead of Xbox Live Community Games, it's going to be called Xbox Live Indie Games.
That's definitely a cooler name.
Say what?
That's definitely a cooler name.
Yeah, it's definitely a cooler name. Like, I know a lot of like the indies who were indie before indie was cool, blah blah blah. You know, are all up in arms about it because they're, you know, now it's like cool to be indie or something.
Well,
it's the same thing
as indie music, you know. Yeah. You're not really indie if you're an indie band with a label. If you're really indie, you're poor and you don't go to school and you live on the streets.
So the other big change is price points. If you remember before, price points for XNA games, I believe, were still $5 and $10.
Right.
I think you can go down to, I think there were 250 point games, if I recall.
Yeah, I think there's some cheaper stuff.
Which is a little over $3. So, but now the price points, it's going to open up tiers for $5, $3, and $1 games.
That's pretty awesome.
So they're kind of doing the same thing as, sort of like the iPhone market does. They're sort of letting the bottom drop out because I'm sure they realize the games up on XNA are shit.
Yeah, most of them are like, there's at least five of these like, ooh, rumble massagers. Ooh, take the rumble pack and massage yourself.
Put it on your dick.
No. There is one of these rumble massagers that it connects to Xbox Live. You can play with somebody else. Can you imagine the, like...
What is that? No, there's a name for that. It's called teledildonics. Do you know that?
Is that real?
It's called teledildonics, yeah.
But yeah, well, like somebody else is controlling the speed on... Yeah. And they're talking to you dirty on the headset. Yeah, they just need to rename that, you know, dick phone for Xbox.
Now, I've played around a little bit with the new XNA 3.1.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say teledildonics.
I played a little bit with the teledildonics. I've played with this XNA business a little bit, and I poo poo on it somewhat because it's Microsoft only, and that kind of irks me. But I'm telling you guys, if it's easy as shit, like there's so many resources out there, and all you need is an Xbox and a PC. And you can make games for your Xbox. I mean, it's so simple and awesome. If any of you like aspiring game designers out there, you know, get on that. It's awesome.
I'm sorry. I'm still on teledildonics.
Teledildonics? You change it a little bit?
If there are any hot girls out there, my name on Xbox is Blake Buck, all caps, no space.
You know, Blake, I'm working on
We'll hook it up.
We'll send you the $5 for the teledildonics program.
You do me, I do you.
That's
all
right. I've got
a
Netflix plugin in the works, so you have some visual stimulation up there.
So all this heat's coming out soon, right, Vic?
Yeah, it's August 11th, and that's going to coincide with the next the dashboard update.
Oh, and I saw one thing. There's going to be I saw this at Comic-Con, some little the Gears of War suits that your dudes wear. You're going to be able to buy those for your avatar. So.
Nice.
It seems like some cool stuff.
That's the other thing that's going to come into XNA is the XNA people can start using the avatars in their games.
Oh.
And then, which actually is kind of interesting because there's actually regulations over, like, you can't use your app, like, you can't, like, game developers can't put avatars into, like, M-rated games. So you can't have your avatars, like, chopping each other's heads off or, like, shooting each other in the dick or anything like that. But XNA doesn't really have those kinds of regulations like this. Like, there's no ESRB, there's no TCRs, there's none of that shit.
You know what? So, I smell a big media hoopla on the way. Somebody's gonna make it where the avatars are fucking each other, and
I'm sure.
And meanwhile, it's got Rumble on my dick, teledildonics also implemented. and then no more Xbox. They're gonna take it away.
So yeah, teledildonics coming to your Xbox August 11th. Get it while it's hot.
All right, well, maybe if teledildonics comes to Xbox, it'll help them out a little bit more than it did this year. Xbox division limps into second place second straight profitable... What?
You totally, like, misread this. You said...
Second straight profitable. Okay.
That's a good thing. You read it like it was a bad thing.
Well, okay. They barely made it to the second straight profitable year. Microsoft.
Yeah, but they've been losing money for what, 10 years or something?
They've been losing money for quite a while. Now, remember, guys, to build that Xbox you have in your living room cost about $1,000, something like that. And they subsidize the vast majority of the cost to produce that thing, and hoping they'll make it back in software sales. And that's exactly what PS3 does, too. So they don't sell them tapes. They don't get no money back.
Right.
But they did post profits this year. Let's see, the gaming business, I'm going to read these stats to you. Wait, no, I'm not going to do that. Nobody cares. All right, moving on.
How many did it sell, like, a lot more than it did? Let's see. Yeah, it ends with $169 million in the black. Oh, okay. So, I mean,
that's not bad.
They're doing
over
all right.
A 12-month stretch, that's not bad.
It's down from $171 million from the same period last year. So they're down a little bit, but they're still making money. So I say the gaming industry is healthy. You know, we talked about Battlefield 1943. We didn't have this in the news, but just a side note. That game sold 600,000 copies in the first week alone. 600,000. People talk about, oh, there's a recession. Gaming industry in recession proof. Look, numbers are down. Oh, some, like, dumbass game, you know, that's a remake of a game 10 years ago came out on the Xbox and sold more than Prototype in a month.
Done.
So here's a tip. Make your games good.
Yeah, what did you say? We don't have a recession. We have a quality recession in the games industry. If you make good games, people buy them. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, look at like the biggest years in gaming, like 2004, like 2007. Like, we had the Halos on both of those years, GTAs on both those years.
Yeah.
Like, and the profits were through the roof.
Yep.
People didn't get extra money those years. They're like, oh, I found a quarter.
They didn't get a bailout, did they? Nope.
All right, so 2K talks Borderlands launch and BioShock 2 delay. Actually, maybe you should mention this BioShock 2 delay, right? You're a Take-Two clown.
I am a Take-Two employee. Thank you very much. I can speculate. I think that, you know, all the decisions that Take-Two makes regarding this stuff is for the benefit of the product. And this is, I'm sounding like a PR guy right now. But yeah, I mean, they're doing what's right for the game. And it's not that it's behind schedule, but they want to release it, you know, in time also, with all their other stuff.
There's also a lot of competition. You know, everybody's going for that holiday market.
That's
right. They're competing with, I mean, hell, they're still competing with GTA because all that new DLC, Gay Tony coming out. And what else? Halo coming out this fall.
Right.
You've got a bunch of stuff. So I think it's smart that kind of I would still classify BioShock as kind of a second tier game. I don't think it's a triple A, you know.
It's certainly triple A, but it's not like an elite upper echelon.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not a competitor
kind of
to Halo at the moment.
No, I agree.
They've also got this thing coming out in October.
I'd say it's a competitor compared to the Halo that's coming out.
Dude, whatever. I'm down for ODST isn't that what they call it now?
Oost.
So, are you not into it, Fick?
I like Halo. It's just, I don't know. It's just like the more I hear about the new Halo, it's just not getting me up at all.
Well, see,
I don't know.
I always have loved Halo single player, even though I hated Halo 3. Yeah, the single player is still fun to play, and I agree.
But like, there's no Master Chief. I'm just some schmuck.
No, I kind of like that. It's all on Earth, you know? That's what level sucked in the old Halos? Library, you know, that bullshit level in 2 where you're in, like, this giant spaceship. What is it called? I can't even remember the name of it. But I like Earth, shooting on Earth, saving Earth. That's what I like. I don't like highfalutin space
Blake,
levels.
Blake, and on one of the gaming blogs recently, they posted a video from Macworld, like 1999 or something, where they released the first video of Halo. You remember that?
Oh, God, yeah, I remember.
Bungie comes out and is like, we're making this new game. QuickTime is great, but this is all rendered in OpenGL on the Mac. And it looks like a piece of shit on the screen. Just like,
no, it looked amazing.
No, it looked horrible. Like, the animations were bad. Like, today's
standard. Are you talking
standard,
about Halo 2?
No, the original Halo.
No, it was like initial. This is before Bungie was Microsoft.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This is like 10 years ago. It's the 10th anniversary of Halo this year, and so they had the video up there. It's pretty funny, though.
All right, so also
that was back when it was the third-person game and everything.
Yeah, it was third-person, too. That's right.
So also, they've got this thing called Borderlands, which is a role-playing shooter coming out this fall as well. They don't want to overcrowd it with Assassin's Creed 2 and Halo. So, I don't know. 2K is still going to have some representation. I don't know about this Borderlands game. I don't know much about it, but we'll see come this
October. I know is that every screenshot of Borderlands has some close-up shot of some chick's ass in my face.
Yeah, you're right.
It's always that same screenshot.
I'm not complaining, though.
And it's kind of like cel-shaded, sort of. Cel-shaded ass. Thumbs up. All right. Vic, what else we got here?
All right, so the ESA sues for rights to advertise games on Chicago buses.
Okay, here, I've read this article. I'll kind of break it down for you.
All right, so, bust it up.
So, essentially, they had Grand Theft Auto 4 ads all over bus stations in Chicago, and then they got complaints, and they demanded they all get taken down. So they took all the billboards and buses and posters down, and now the ESA, which is the Entertainment Software Association, is suing the Chicago, the city of Chicago, for removing their advertising.
Or the Chicago Transit Authority.
Yeah, the Chicago Transit Authority. Essentially, they're arguing, well, you can advertise M-rated, or you can advertise mature-themed movies and television shows on buses without problems, but, you know, you put a poster up there and you demand we take it down and throw our, you know, essentially waste all our advertising dollars. So the suit is still pending, but I don't know. It seems like they're likely to win, but at the same time, it does say, like, Grand Theft Auto on the street of Chicago. When I'm, like...
well, the thing is, like, the poster itself, like, I'm assuming, I'm looking at a picture here of the poster, assuming this is the poster that is going up, there's nothing wrong with it except the words Grand Theft Auto on it.
Well, and he also has, like, these black gloves looking like he's going to kill somebody.
So, oh, yeah, you know, black gloves are just so offensive.
Yeah, but
it's
not like it's got blood or dicks
if
on
the
it
blood,
or something. I mean,
it's not like it's got two giant tits in black gloves. It's like, no, it's just some dude. He's got a, you know, stylish jacket. He's got black gloves. Like,
yeah, but okay, you got to look at it from the perspective.
Picture of Michael Jackson's got black gloves. Who the fuck gives a shit?
Look,
you know?
He raped kids.
Look, think of it this way. I'm a troubled youth living on the main streets of Chicago. I'm 15 years old, drinking a 40 at around, 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, I just beat up my best friend. Now I'm walking down to catch the bus. Oh, look, Grand Theft Auto sounds like a good idea.
I should go get some black gloves and go jack the car.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. They will probably win this lawsuit, it sounds like. But we'll see how this plays out for the ESA and the CTA.
I mean, this is really... It sounds to me like it's people just ganging up on Grand Theft Auto because of what it is.
Yeah, pretty much. So
I mean, like this is actually a very tame poster that I'm seeing. So it's probably just the stigma that comes along with.
Yeah, there's not even a gun on it. I would at least put
a gun. There's no guns. There's no weapons. There's a dude in a jacket with black gloves, and he's putting his black gloves on, and the words Grand Theft Auto 4.
Man, he does look like a terrorist, though.
Justin Fick, you remember walking around New York when they were advertising the last 10 episodes of Battlestar Galactica? Those posters.
Oh God.
Where it just had like Adama, just his face, and that was it. Like,
they totally Adama. Had posters for everybody too.
Yeah, they had all the characters, but I just remember seeing like Adama in profile.
Yeah, I want to get like that, like just put it in my room, just a giant Adama face. So I wake up in the morning, and he says, "You've got to do what you've got to do, Blake. This is your life to make your own decisions, and I won't have any part of it."
you should put it on your ceiling.
It's time to do podcast today,
right above
Blake.
Your bed.
Like. Yeah, above my bed. So he's just glaring at me when I awake.
Good night, Admiral.
Or like when you have sex, people put mirrors up on their ceiling so they can watch themselves. You have a picture of Adama, so you can look at Adama's eyes.
Look, you will always perform when he is scrutinizing you, okay? You will always perform.
You are a soldier, and that is what you do.
Okay,
get in there and fight, son.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Shut up.
All right. We've in recent months, or I guess in the recent month, we've seen a slew of new classic, classic adventure titles from.
I tell you, it's
from LucasArts. They've been sitting on those things for a long time.
There's another news announcement. I didn't put it in here. Sierra is about to relaunch some of their adventure titles on Steam.
So we're seeing a lot of these. I mean, Telltale Games is releasing episodic versions of Monkey Island, and just recently it was announced that the iPhone is also going to get a Monkey Island game, Monkey Island Classic. Is that what it is? Special edition? That's it.
Secret. It's the special edition. It's actually like for those of us that have played the one on the Xbox, It is the exact same thing.
I wish they had spaced this out, because I would have bought both, but now that they're both out and I hadn't bought either of them, it's like, oh, well, mm-hmm. I got to choose.
Yeah, I'm still playing through the one on the Xbox, so I wouldn't buy the one on the iPhone, but just the fact that it's out there, I think, is awesome.
Now, the price point for this is $7.99. What's the price point for the Xbox version?
$10.
All right.
A little cheaper, but at the same time, I guess, you know, it's 3D on my TV.
It is. 3D on my TV. 3D on my phone now.
All right, well, not really 3D.
Well, okay.
No, it's not 3D at all, actually.
But, it seems to be almost like a renaissance of old school adventure games. They're all coming. I mean, we got Myst on the iPhone now, too.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Excuse you. If Rand Miller heard what you just did, he would write a linking book and put you in it.
No, that was good. I like Myst on my phone. It's like, but it's big though. Like, I tried to download it on Edge. No, that ain't gonna happen. It's like 500
it's
megs.
It's bigger than the actual CD-ROM game was when it came out.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, that's true. What the fuck? I don't know.
So, but I mean, I love this. Like, I love these old LucasArts games, like Monkey Island. I had so much fun with that when I was a kid. I'm having a blast playing through it again.
Are you still playing original? Like, which are you still flipping? What are you doing now?
I'm playing pretty much totally original. Like, I will flip into the new one to see like what a scene looks like, but you know, just like we were talking about last week, like the characters don't have the same kind of personality in the new version. Like, the jokes aren't as funny when they're spoken as opposed to read.
Right.
So, I mean, I still, like, for enjoyment purposes, I still play it in the original version.
Right. Mm. Well, cool.
And then plus, like, you know, there's like certain things too, like, I hate spoiling stuff, but there is a scene, which all the action takes place off the screen, and it like all the jokes and all the action happens in your in the actual user interface. So there's a part, you know, in your UI you have like, you know, verbs you can click on, and then it has like a little line saying like it'll make a sentence as you're doing stuff. So when you click use, it'll change to use. You click on your sword, it'll say use sword on, and then you click on whatever, and it'll say use sword on puppy or whatever.
Right.
You know, there's a whole scene that, you know, you can't see your character or what's going on, but it will totally be forming those sentences, like, you know, use nail clippers on rhinoceros or something like that. But like, it's got a whole scene that plays out in that little thing, which is hilarious in the original version. But
what are they doing in the new one?
In the new one, they couldn't pull it off, like, because they have that whole like contextual, you know, command thing. So it's, you know, so when, like, after a little while, it will say like, it'll just bring up a prompt saying press A to do this thing, use nail clippers on the clown or whatever.
Yeah.
So like it totally like the joke just doesn't work.
Yeah.
With the new UI.
Hmm. All right.
So.
Well, moving along, we got Sam Raimi has officially been announced as directing the new World of Warcraft movie. Oh my god.
Dude, you know what this means, right?
What's that?
Means Bruce Campbell is going to be in the new World of Warcraft movie.
Dude, Bruce Campbell is Arthas.
Dude, no. Bruce Campbell is Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy's in the movie.
A peachy?
I'm
a little
coming
Leroy
up with
32.33, right,
repeating, of course, percentage of survival.
Well, that's a lot better than we usually do.
All right, chums, I'm
ready, guys.
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
Oh my god, he just ran in.
Save him!
Oh jeez, stick to the plane!
Oh jeez, let's go, let's go.
Let's go, let's go.
Stick to the plane, Jeff.
Stick to the plane.
Great job,
guys. What's up? Leroy, you were just stupid as hell.
At least I have chicken.
Thank you.
Now see, here's what's gonna happen, I guarantee you. They're gonna announce this movie, or they did announce this movie. It's going to get made, and people are going to be expecting Lord of the fucking Rings with Warcraft on it. And what they're going to get is Sam Raimi masterpiece that's funny and that I'm going to enjoy. And they're going to take a shit all over it because it's not what they want.
Okay, now see, I love Sam Raimi back in the day because I loved Evil Dead. I loved Evil Dead 2. I loved all the Evil Deads. And then he made Spider-Man. It was all right. Spider-Man 2, it was okay. And then Spider-Man 3 was a complete piece of shit.
Which he has acknowledged, by the way.
I lost faith in Sam.
Yeah, but have you not seen Drag Me to Hell?
Oh, sir. I was just getting that. And then so I decided I'm going to go see Drag Me to Hell. So I got two of these 36-ounce High Lifes that come in these giant tall boy cans. You know, and you can't sneak. You have to go with the girl because you can't sneak like these giant beers in your pocket into the theater. So we loaded up her purse with our beers. And then we saw, oh my God, that was the scariest / funniest fucking movie I have ever seen in my life. Oh, you've got to go see Drag Me to Hell. If you haven't seen it yet, you got to still go see it when it's in theaters, and you need to be drunk. Every time we were making up drinking games we're playing, every time there was like flies, we had to drink. But, oh, man. Oh, and there's this one part where this old woman gets hit by like an anvil, and her eyes pop out of her head.
It's like Looney Tunes.
Oh, there are parts of it that are exactly like Looney Tunes. Now, oh, my God, it was so funny. You've got to go see. So I'm totally pumped for
now. This movie. Weekend, we went to see Transformers 2, right, in the theater. And we decided we were going to get drunk. And so what we did is we went to this restaurant called Duclaw. I don't know if Duclaw is only Baltimore
thing. If you have a Duclaw in your area and you have not been there,
you got to go. So it's like a microbrewery kind of deal. Anyway,
and the food's all right.
Beer's really good. It's you know, heavy beer, you know, at least 10 proof or more.
But if you flip over on the back of the menu is a dark secret.
There's a silhouette that confronts you. It's a giant jug called the Growler, which you could pay $22 for.
Now, whoa, $22, that's a lot of money, right? How many ounces are in this Growler?
What was it, 64?
64 ounces of beer.
Okay, 64 ounces of, it's not bitch beer either. It's like good microbrew beer.
It's all like 6%.
Now, you might be saying, well, $22, that's still a lot to pay for
right,
64
that's still a lot, I mean,
beer.
That's 4 pounds of beer.
But it gets better, Justin Fick. So you could take this, you could kill off your Growler. It's called Growler. You take your Growler
it's
to another.
It's this big brown jug, like a moonshine jug.
it's even got a little loop in it for your thumb in case you need to drink it over your shoulder. You know, it's too heavy. So anyway, you can take an empty back to Duclaw, and they will refill it for $7.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
Oh, my God. So anyway, we take this huge motherfucking thing into the theater with us. And we just passed it back and forth. I feel sorry for the people like sitting behind us. They'd see this big jug go up in the air every once in a while. Because you got to hold it with two hands.
Oh. It was great.
Oh, it was good. That was
Transformers
good.
Ass, I had a blast. it doesn't say much about the film. He's going to be directing Spider-Man 4. It's going to be coming out, I believe. They're making it next year, so it's coming out 2011, I guess, Spider-Man 4. And then after that, he's going to do the World of Warcraft movie. So it's still probably 4 years off at least. But in all likelihood, World of Warcraft will still be just as big then as it is now. So
surely.
Well, people still play EverQuest, so I'm sure it's going to be.
Right. Oh, and dude, and Drag Me to Hell? All right, so I don't know if you've seen the trailers. There's this evil old woman. She drives this car, and it's the same car that's in Evil Dead, that like
it's in all of his
nice.
Movies,
yeah.
And like every time you see it, it's always got like the wind kind of blows, and it's kind of evil and menacing looking.
I like how that car in Evil Dead 3 just drops from the sky.
Yeah,
and it's got all his like chemistry books and like mechanics shit in the back. You remember
Dude,
that?
Yeah, everything you need to make a mechanical hand and kick some ass.
Right. Totally off.
All right, so next up we got a look. It's the first clip I've seen. There might have been one before this, but it's the first clip I've seen of DJ Hero. Now, I'm a DJ, so I'm obviously way into this game already. And so I have some video of it, and we're going to play the audio for you here right now. Dude, I love it.
Now, I can't wait. See, if you watch that video, it's got one track, right? I guess it's to represent your record that you're scratching. right? I can't wait for the second one. It's got double records. So you have to parse two streams of, like...
Oh, no, it's got, like, these, like, two, like, lines. It looks sort of like amplitude. I don't know exactly what you're doing with your hands. Look, it sounds cool, and it looks cool. Thumbs up on DJ Hero.
We're excited.
All right, so Grand Theft Auto 4, The Ballad of Gay Tony, comes out October 29th. So this is the second and final Xbox 360 exclusive expansion to Grand Theft Auto 4. It arrives, and worth noting, 2 days before the end of Take-Two's fiscal year. Both expansions, there's going to be a double expansion disc.
Yeah, they're going to make a retail disc.
This is going to be $40.
The folks who ain't got Xbox Live, I guess, but by itself, it's just $20, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
So, does anybody know what this is about? Like, the Gay Tony? Oh, wait, no, that is Gay Tony. The picture is Gay Tony. Wait, no.
Oh, is it?
All right, well, he is very womanly. So, I've read that it's going to be, like, something about gambling. It looks sort of like Las Vegas, is what I read.
Yeah, like, it's all about, apparently, Liberty City's, you know, like, the high-end nightlife. So, I guess Gay Tony is an associate of the... what does it say here? Because I haven't played it. The Ancelotti crime family in Grand Theft Auto 4. So it says more specifically, it follows his assistant Luis Lopez, who popped up in the game itself. And it follows like the high end nightlife, and it says absolutely nothing else.
So I love Lost in the Damned. I hadn't even played it. I just saw Ben Buck play it. Here's your review for Lost in Damned. Shotgun plus motorcycle. Sold. I get to fire a shotgun on a motorcycle.
I like, that's probably the only design meeting in that game they had. The designers got together and were like, all right, here we go, guys. Shotgun plus, wait for it, motorcycle. Done.
And then they
hand it off to the level designer. Done. That's it.
There's no level.
I wonder what
the
it's going
to be. The same.
I wonder what Gay Tony's going to be. Chainsaw and...
Dresses. Plus dicks.
Yes, that too, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe they'll get some good outfits. One thing I always hated about Grand Theft Auto 4 is all the outfits are stupid. Like, you go in Saints Row, I get to dress up as, like, zebra pimp and kill people. Grand Theft Auto 4, it's like, oh, do you want a brown jacket or a black jacket? All right.
And when I play this, they seem to have some pretty decent communist attire. I could be wrong. I only played very little of it.
Yeah.
All right. So we've been hearing a lot about this brutal legend. In fact, I have incorporated it into my lexicon. I say it in everyday speech. Man, that was brutal legend.
it combines two of your favorite words into
brutal
one.
And legend. Right. And so I can't wait for this game to come out. It looks awesome. But it has been marred in litigation for forever, and God only knows what is going to happen.
It just didn't have a publisher for a while.
Well, it didn't have a publisher, and now Activision sued them, and then they are suing Activision back. And apparently what happened, I think this is what happened, is that Activision wanted to roll the IP into their newest Guitar Hero tape so that it would thin out the competition when Guitar Hero came out. They don't want Brutal Legend... like, leeching off sales from Guitar Hero. And so they wanted to roll Brutal Legend into, like, I don't know, a playable venue or something.
Yeah, let me see if I can find the actual quote.
And so Double Fine is suing them back, saying that this game, for it to come out, is like, it's critical to their business. Like, if the game doesn't come out as they had planned, they will fail. And so it's all this unlawful business practice and all this stuff, so nobody knows what's going to happen with this game.
Okay, here's the quote. Double Fine's countersuit contends Activision lawsuit was filed to hurt the company and the game, and it was involved in unlawful business practices and conspiracy to protect the Guitar Hero sales. Activision's purpose is not only to cancel Brutal Legend, but to kill it completely so that Guitar Hero would not have to face competition. This isn't the same one that I read. But apparently, yeah, part of their plan was, like you said, rolling it into Guitar Hero. Like, look, let's just make a level. Your game will be a level in Guitar Hero. Done.
Right. And so, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen here. Hopefully the good guys will win. I love Double Fine, you know.
It'll come out.
I think the game looks awesome. In fact, every new concept art I see of Jack Black, his character, his chops get bigger every time. Like, if you look at that one in the GameSpot, his chops are huge. They're actually bigger than the guitar
he's
holding.
Dude, whatever. They just modeled that after me. That
right.
is me.
They took your
game.
Picture doing, you know, that's you brushing your teeth right there, and they just replaced it with a guitar. Right. They snuck into the house.
All right, so look, and it's still coming. It's coming out October something.
Something like that, yeah.
All right. Oh, all right. The next article I gotta take, dude. All right. I know it's a little late. All right, but maybe we got some listeners that work at Capcom. Please God. All right. But if you went to Comic-Con, Capcom had a booth, and they had some merchandise. You could buy, like, arcade sticks and T-shirts, right? But one item stands above all others. It is a Marvel vs. Capcom 2 hip-hop soundtrack. So apparently it's the Marvel vs. Capcom 2 music, but, like, remixed by a hip-hop artist on a blue vinyl. Do you see this photo, Justin Fick?
I'm looking at it right now.
So if you scroll down here, it's free with a $500 booth purchase.
Man, how niche is that shit?
Oh,
okay.
Dude.
Okay, no.
I would pay if I had $500, I would buy that right now.
First of all, Marvel vs. Capcom soundtrack, strike one. Second, Marvel vs. Capcom soundtrack remixed with hip-hop. So all the people that were going to buy it aren't going to buy it anymore. Strike two. And it's on vinyl. Who the fuck has a vinyl?
Are you kidding me? This is like my ultimate. I fit all three. Look, if anybody out there can get me one of these, I will pay you a hundo. Somebody, a hundo. Somebody make it happen. Look, it's our 50th show. Where's my present? This is what I want.
It's not to be confused with a Hyundai.
No, Hyundai is a car. Hundo is a monetary unit.
Hundo is a Spanish.
So look, it's on Kotaku. If you go to Kotaku and just search for Marvel vs. Capcom 2 mixtape, you could find a picture of this blue vinyl. Somebody make it happen.
The ESRB, which is known for spoiling the releases and content of a lot of games, like by posting their ratings up on their site,
right,
has given up quote unquote sexy time spoilers for a game called Dragon Age.
Oh my. All right, keep going. I'm not going to lay into Dragon Age.
Okay, so not only so specifically, so you know, so of course it was M to begin with because of all the violence and gore and everything. So apparently the ESRB's rating gives away the presence of trannies and implied bestiality.
Ooh. That's what I'm talking about. Finally, a game that addresses the real issues here. I want to fuck a dragon.
Yep. So apparently, I guess in the game there is a whorehouse, and just like your favorite website Google, there's an I'm feeling lucky button, and this will sometimes pair you. You can get a woman, you can get a man, you can get a transsexual, or you can get an animal.
Oh, just like Google's button.
Just like Google's button, exactly. It did say that a sexual activity is never depicted, but you know, of course, it's implied that you get action with a sheep or dragon or whatever whoever your soulmate ends up being.
Hopefully, it's a dragon. I'm all about the dragon porn. I don't know
you and everybody else at Comic-Con.
I don't know much about this Dragon Age game other than it looks like ass. Would you get this out of here? It is distracting me. Speaking of bestiality, you and this cat, I swear to God. All right, so yeah, this.
Well, I'm looking at the only screenshot they give us here of Dragon Age, and it looks like a scene from a rejected like poser program or something. Yeah. Like, the models just look so bad. It looks like fucking. Yeah, it looks like poser fan fiction. Poser 5 art.
Right, so...
Skip.
Yeah, big thumbs down on Dragon Age. Maybe it'll win me, but so far it looks totally... It looks like Too Human. It's like... It's BioWare's Too Human. Well, we'll just mention this real quick. Behemoth announced their third game, which they're calling Game 3, at Comic-Con this year, this week. Not much is known about it. Yeah, you hop around. You're these little guys. Other than that, it doesn't have a title. Doesn't really have much of a story. Still fairly vague. Everything is TBA at the moment. But look, I love the Behemoth, so I love this game by default.
All right, Behemoth. If anybody from your studios out there, if I ever leave Firaxis, I'm gonna be knocking on your door. I think you guys make games like you make the games that you want to make, and that's awesome. You're flying low. You're lean and mean. And this game, this tape looks good. I've seen a little gameplay footage of this. Looks good. Solid platformer. I liked Castle Crashers a lot. Look, man.
The Castle Crashers was brutal legend, dude.
Dude, it was brutal legend. We have two articles here on the exploits of EA at Comic-Con. And EA is what is this game? Inferno. Dante's Inferno, right. So Dante's Inferno, if you don't know, is a new game about going into hell and killing the devil. Now, I know this might sound like Diablo to you, but it's not. It's based on the Aeneid.
Lame.
So anyway,
no, it's based on Dante's Inferno.
Oh right.
Virgil. I know books and shit.
Now hang on. Before you rail on me about that. Virgil actually appears in Dante's Inferno.
Okay.
Yeah, because he is the guy that takes you down. Look, I've read
he
books.
Also appeared in Devil May Cry 3. Boom! Dante's brother.
All right.
How you like that?
Well, I am punked. So anyway.
I am punked.
So they had this, EA had this ad campaign called Sin to Win. And essentially they had these like fake tattoos on girls' breasts. That had the word "sin to win" with the skull and two prone young ladies in silhouette, and so that was it.
So what you would do is it says how to win. You find these hot babes that have these "sin to win" tattoos or whatever on them, and you take photos of you. And let me read this exactly as it's written on their flyer: commit acts of lust. I'm not exactly sure what they were hoping for. And then you Twitter it and like do at Dante Team Lust something something, and then repeat. It says do it more often, and then whoever gets the best picture, I guess, wins. And I quote: a night with the hottest girls at Comic-Con, dinner, booty, and more. So one handpicked winner gets dinner and a sinful night with two hot girls. All right, okay.
I like so they have an illustrated guide at the bottom of this flyer, and the act of depravity that they depict, that they illustrate down here, is just some dork standing next to this one. That's about as far as they could think.
Look, if you wanted to win this contest, it's not going to be hard, okay? Because most people get around these hot girls, especially types at Comic-Con, they go, "I could not take my picture with you." No. All right, you bend one over like you're fucking them in the ass, all right? And you take the other one and put your face in their breasts. And then you tell your buddy to take a photo. You just won.
Blake Buck, you are a walking act of lust.
So our next article.
So anyway, after that happened, EA promptly apologized for their sin to win ad campaign.
So they say, "We understand there's a lot of debate right now over our sin to win promotion at Comic-Con, and we wanted to clarify a few things. We created this promotion as part of our marketing efforts, blah, 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 blah. Commit acts of lust is simply a tongue-in-cheek way of saying, take pictures with our costume reps." Yeah, all right, that's not what you said. My dick went in her ass. I'm sorry. My bad. Also, a night of lust means the winner will receive a chaperone VIP night on the town with the Dante Inferno reps, all expenses paid.
To be fair, on the original flyer, the night of lust did say a limo service with paparazzi and dinner, and it gives you a chest of booty, as in we're gonna give you an EA T-shirt.
Also, and they what else they did with this is they had a fake right-wing religious protest outside of EA. Like, you can see these guys. They've got, like, billboards and shit saying, you know, boycott
or whatever. Just say
Inferno. Yeah, right. Ah. Apparently that was all a hoax and fake, just to draw attention to their ad campaign.
It's genius, though, because I'm going to school to get a marketing degree. I'm just going to go work for EA and come up with this bullshit all the time.
Dude, seriously.
All right.
Yeah, everything I hear about this game now just makes me like it less. I mean, this stuff, like, it really could be done well, like the whole acts of lust and phony protests and stuff. But, like, I don't know. Just, like, the more I hear about Dante's Inferno, the more I hate this game.
Look, just wait till I graduate and get my marketing degree. I'll go work for EA, and then it'll be... fuck this girl on the street and take a photo and you win. I'm available at blakebuck.com. You can see my resume.
Teledictronics to win.
All right, Star Wars The Force Unleashed expands with new DLC and a new Ultimate Sith Edition. So, first of all, let me ask, did either of you play Star Wars Force Unleashed?
Nope. Don't intend to either.
Well, it was supposedly like God of War, except Star Wars, and it was supposedly pretty good. But they got a new DLC coming out, and supposedly this new DLC is going to feature quite a lot of content. You're going to get a couple of new levels, and they're also making a Game of the Year edition, or not, maybe not a Game of the Year, or what's it called? Ultimate Sith, excuse me. That's going to include the DLC, so... I think come by, you know, this November when this pack comes out at like $30, this Force Unleashed is going to be a heck of a deal with a bunch of new levels.
I am so tired of Star Wars. God damn it.
Dude, whatever.
No, no.
Whatever.
No,
dude,
no.
Star Wars, baby.
Star Wars. No, I'm tired of it. It's dead to me now.
Look, and you're not tired,
oh my God, I'm tired of it.
Of like Battlestar Galactica. It's the same shit. Space, lasers.
I'm not inundated with Battlestar Galactica media all the goddamn time. I don't have three totally shit movies and a slew of horrible games to hate.
Look, there have been good Star Wars games. I don't know why you're
there
like
have been
all...
good Star Wars. Don't get me wrong.
Okay, and I think
been,
this looks like a good Star Wars
volume,
game.
The volume, oh my God. If they released one awesome game every year.
Look, let me lay it down for you, Wayne Miller. If you had the opportunity to like grab tits every time you wake up, right, there's like seven or eight pairs of tits lined up for you at your door. Would you do it? Of course you would. You don't even have to answer, all right? And you would enjoy it every time, because it's a good thing.
Now, are these teledictonic tits?
Yes.
Are they like...
They do feature the teledictonics, all right? You can't, there is not too much of a good thing.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying. It's a little bit of an overload. I'm tired of Star Wars. I've seen that man. I've seen that... That right there, that man.
that photo.
I've seen that photo about 1,000 times. I'm tired of it. All right, Echo, they're an urban clothing manufacturer and designer, released some Halo shirts. And now Kotaku's like, ooh, these are so ugly. They're not bad.
No, I like them.
Dude, these are disgusting.
No.
Cool.
Okay, first of all, think about...
These are horrible.
Think about who they are marketed to. These are the same people that wear shirts with, like, a Scarface on it. Okay? Like an airbrush Scarface.
Again, this is one of like our great debates on this show. Why do black people like Scarface so much? If you know the answer, feedback at Best Damn Podcast.
We're
going to
call
ever.
Andre in a little while and ask him
yeah.
if he answers our phone call. No, but these shirts are fine. They're marketed to a certain demographic. You know, they're going to get
eaten
up.
Like these are like a step up from the wolf shirts.
Okay, first of all, wolf shirts do very well in the redneck population.
No, whatever.
Just like Scarface does well in the urban
population.
That
one in the middle, I don't know if Peachy, if you can put these in the feed, you can search for them, but that one in the middle on the top, dude, that yellow one, it's pimp, baby.
I'm telling you, these aren't bad. I like the one on the right, too. It's got the Echo logo in the middle of it. Yeah, and the Master
Chief's all over the place. In fact, these are exactly wolf. I think this guy ripped off wolf shirt designs and just replaced wolves with Master Chief.
No, I'm telling you, they're very bizarre and strange, and that's why I like them. They're not your standard, like, oh, a Master Chief face, and it says Halo underneath. Mm-hmm. How fucking boring is that? They're really, like, strangely... Especially that one in the bottom right. You see that one?
Yeah, I like these. I like them. I think that they're not marketed to us, which is why, like, Game Press poo-poos all over them. But, I mean, these things are going to sell. I'd get one. Whatever.
Dude, Master Chief is clearly howling at the moon at this T-shirt.
All right. Clearly, you have some pent-up issues on your... Yep. I think Justin Fick, like, before he got to high school, only wore, like, wolf shirts. And then he had this, like, traumatic experience where the girl he liked was like, I'm not going to have sex with you. You have a wolf T-shirt on.
Yeah, you got all the way to the bedroom.
And forevermore.
And you take off, like, you've got, like,
No. One of these days, I'm going to find that girl with the wolf T-shirt and be like, hey, nice wolf T-shirt. And they were going to engage in teledictronics.
All right, wolf dictronics.
Tell a wolf dictronics. All right, we got Settlers of Catan coming out on the iPhone. Now, for those of you who don't know, Settlers of Catan is one of the very famous German board games. It's a hex based like economics game. It's very, very fun, and they saw a release on Xbox Live, and that was pretty fun. Although, what I don't understand. Okay, so Vicious Cycle made that game, right? Vicious Cycle made that game, and to all of us, it seemed like, you know, maybe 10 people put that game together or whatever. No. That game was a front so that they could get money to design their new Vicious engine. Like, that, the source code for that game, I hear, is just massive and incredible. And it's nice. Just Settlers of Catan, like, on the Xbox. So anyway, but that came out. And
wait, who made that game?
Vicious Cycle.
That was made by Big Huge Games.
No.
Oh, you're thinking, no, slam dunk!
All right, Catan was...
Oh, from the three-point line. Oh,
okay, Catan was, but the other one... Fuck, what was the other one?
The other boy?
Carcassonne.
Carcassonne. That's it. Okay, well, they're the same damn thing. I mean, so anyway, this game's coming out on the iPhone. We don't have any, like, screenshots of it yet or anything, but I'll get that, especially if I can play multiplayer. That'd be pretty cool. You know, taking road trip, pass that tape back and forth. That'd be pretty fun.
Now, there actually is a Catan-esque game for the iPhone already. I haven't played it. I have no idea if it's good or not. It's called Colonists. That's Colonists with a K.
They're actually clan. So. You colonize with the clan.
Yeah.
the Ku Klux colonists.
Right.
So I have no idea if this game is good or not, but I heard it's a lot like Settlers of Catan, and it's for the iPhone, and it's out already. Mm. All right, so Rock Band and Guitar Hero revenues are down. They're down 49%. So it's...
It's a sad day for...
It is a sad day. Well, you know what? Like, it was only a matter of time, though. I mean, like, it's kind of getting old now, the whole Rock Band songs. I don't give a shit what's really coming out this week on Rock Band. You know, it's like I don't really pay attention to it anymore. Like I don't really care what I hear about a new Rock Band or Guitar Hero.
Everybody was
game.
So excited.
I still haven't bought Guitar Hero Metallica.
Yeah.
So
everybody was so excited when like Rock Band came out, you know. I remember when Rock Band came out, that's all I did for like a month. I mean, like my life was in shambles by the end. Like I think I bought I think I mentioned this story before, but I got all this like money from Microsoft cuz they fucked up. Remember that was like my explosive jank.
Oh yeah, like they sent me like they they reimbursed you for every game right. you ever downloaded.
So almost all of that money that I got, which was like $200, went into Rock Band. Man, but like now it's like you know, we used to have a dream team. We play we practice like a real band. We got to like number 50 on one of our favorite songs, like 50 in the world. But it's like now it's like I've done that. I think it'll help when the Beatles comes out. Because a lot of new people will get into it, but I think I think
the Beatles one actually sounds like a really fun game too.
I think that we're kind of done collectively with music gaming. It seems like it comes in waves. You know, like DDR came out and was big, and then kind of faded away. Then it was Rock Band is big, and now it's kind of fading away. I predict, you know, 5 years from now it'll be, or maybe DJ Hero will bring it back. I don't know, but
I don't know. But it just seems like it's getting played out too. I mean, like. You know, like Activision is making all fucking kinds of Guitar Hero games now. It's just it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think Activision is partly to blame for this because I mean, they put out so many more. If you look at Harmonix, how many Rock Band 1, Rock Band 2, and they made one for what is it? What's it? The Rock Band.
We're gonna
Unplugged.
Get Rock Band Beatles.
Yeah, Rock Band Beatles, and then they had Rock Band Unplugged. That's four games on all platforms. You know, whereas, and they're all mostly the same. Really, it's only about two games, if you really think about it. But if you look at Activision, they've got at least probably 10 or 15 different, you know, they've got smash hits, Metallica. What's the one that came out just a few, they had, I can't even remember all the
well,
shit.
Well, see, like, Guitar Hero 3, 4, I'm sure they're going to make a 5. There's Aerosmith, Metallica, there is the DS one, there's another version of the DS one, there's a PSP one coming out. It's just like, it's overload. It's just like, fucking stop.
Our advice to Activision, fucking stop, please. So I think we're definitely going to see, I think it'll keep going, but it'll be much smaller than it was. I remember when Guitar Hero 3 came out, that was like, oh my god, dude, that was like right at the peak. I think we peaked at Guitar Hero 3.
Yeah, that's the last one I really played the shit out of. Like I play a lot of Rock Band 2 now, but I don't know. It's very much just like it's leveled off.
Yeah.
Like it's really just like, okay, now I want to play a music game today. I'll play some Rock Band. I don't know, but it's not like I played the shit out of it the way I played, you know, the shit out of Guitar Hero 1, 2 and 3.
Yeah. Yeah, like when Rock Band came out, I bought like all the songs that came out. Nowadays I don't even look at the you know, what came out this week. So, but still, it'll be around. Well, I think that does it. I think we've wrapped up all the news somehow. Good Lord, that was a lot of news.
Woo!
What? We've been rolling for an hour now. That was an hour of news. Good Lord. Now it's time for judgment. All right, guys. So I told you last week there was a deal where you got to buy two GameStop used games, get one free. So I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to buy Prince of Persia and 2Human, and I'll get a free copy of 2Human. And me and Ben Buck can play it online, my brother, because he loves Silicon Knights, right? So I went and bought 2Human. I'm like, now, I know this game got bad reviews, but I'm going to go in with an open mind, and I'm going to see what it says. The pros. It's got a sort of interesting concept for a game. You're a god, and you're saving people, and you're kind of cybertronic, and it's in sort of a cybertronic Norse future. I guess that's kind of a cool concept for the game. Another pro... I can't think of any. All right, it's time for cons. It's complete ass. Oh, my God. This game is balls. The camera sucks. Like, it's trying to be like God of War, where it smartly adapts to the environments you're in, but it just sucks dick. Like, I'll be walking, and it does that Resident Evil thing where the camera spins around or pops to another perspective, and now I'm pressing forward, but I'm running backward, and I have to, you know, reorient myself every time they do these camera changes. The story is so stupid. Something about being an... all the people... I don't even want to describe how stupid the story is. The item system is shit, and the menus are shit. You press start, and it takes about 5 seconds to get into the menu and check items. Now, this wouldn't be so bad if you didn't have to go into the menu that often, but when you pick up items, they automatically pick up. And then, to see what it is, you got to hit the start button, wait 5 seconds, look at your items, and then like, oh, God. And then the art is pretty generic. I mean, it's cool, but at the same time, it looks like Gears of War mixed with God of War. And it doesn't do it for me. All the cutscenes are real heavy-handed. Like, the whole first part you're playing, it's doing this flashback to when you're talking about the mission you're currently on. But it's like, oh, I'm walking, but now I'm in an office. Oh, let's go on a mission. Oh, but now I'm fighting again. It's like, let's break up the action more than it already is with the fucking menus. And furthermore, you can't heal. Ever. You get hit, that's it. Ain't no strategy to it. I hope I don't get hit.
So what, you play through the whole game without
any
chance to...
Well, there's one dude that can heal. And maybe down there... I only played maybe about 2 hours of this game. I played through the first boss, which, by the way, I just died about 100 times at. But the enemies don't get more health after you die, so you can eventually, like, wear them down. But it's like, oh, God. So, it's fucking awful. My judgment, fuck you. Silicon Knights, you should be ashamed of you. I bought this game because I love Silicon Knights. They made Twin Snakes, Eternal Darkness, you know, quality titles. Oh, what the fuck happened? Oh, my God. If anybody wants a free copy of 2Human, too bad, because I'm burning that disc.
All right, I have a judgment for you guys this week, an indie judgment. I know Blake doesn't like indie games, but I do. This is the latest offering from Derek Yu, and if you've been keeping track of indie games, you'll know that he did Aquaria, which was also pretty good, a very pretty game. But anyway, this game is called Spelunky. Justin Fick, have you played this game before?
I have not played it, but I've heard of it.
Okay, Spelunky is like Cave Story, right? You're a little pixel man, you run around little pixel levels. But that's about where the similarity ends. It's a side-scrolling roguelike, essentially. All the levels are randomly generated every time you play, and it's got a lot of humor in it, and it's a lot of fun. You die a lot. It's really hard, just like a roguelike should be. But it's a great way to kill, like, 10 minutes. You know, you play around in a level for a little while, and you're done. And it's awesome. It even has a little level editor that you can do, and you can share levels with your friends and stuff. Very cool. He made it in Game Maker in, I think, about 3 weeks or something like that. But it's free. Go download it. It's awesome.
I hate indie games.
I know you do.
I just want to throw that in.
I know you do.
Now it's time for the jank. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. I ain't a winner. Got a hot hand. I got a quick jank for you guys this week. I was in Best Buy the other day. Spider-Man Web of Shadows for the Xbox 360, $15. All right, now, before you go, oh, but that game ain't no good. All right.
Oh, Blake, but that game ain't no good.
Thank you for the role play we just had. All right, it's not a game of the year, all right? But at the same time, I love Spider-Man 2 back in the day. Justin Vick, did you ever play Spider-Man 2 back in the day?
Negative.
Oh,
negative.
Dude, that game was awesome because you get to swing around and you're Spider-Man. It's awesome. It's like open world, kind of like GTA. So I was hoping to recapture some of that. And it does for the most part. It's not, you know, amazing, awesome, you know, 10 out of 10. But if you're looking for a good game, just spend a few hours playing through Spider-Man Web of Shadows, $15 at Best Buy. For feedback this week, we have no emails. Thank you, God. No emails this week. We do have two voicemails, though, that I'm going to play for you right now.
Hey, what's up, BDPE? This is your boy Sneakerhead. Just wanted to, you know, tell y'all that you're real big in the hip-hop community right now, especially us underground rappers coming out of Chicago, you know, coming out of Chicago and the Bay Area, you know, Frisco, Oakland, all that. And we just, you know, we use all your equipment, you know, heat, battle tapes, all that. We're real big fans of your show. You know, we even put a little snippets of your battle and all that in our music. So we just wanted to let you know that we're real big fans of the show. You know, Oak Town, we get it right. Chi-Town, we also get it right. Sneak ass for life. Peace.
Oh, my God. It's awesome. Nice. Awesome.
Dude, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Look, we want to hear your music.
Yeah, I want to hear some, like battle hip-hop.
We will definitely play that.
Yeah,
on the
knowing
show.
There's a remix of us somewhere.
That's fantastic.
Dude, I should be doing that. I'm not even thinking. Why haven't I made a battle remix? Damn it.
Well, you're lagging there, Pop Chopper.
damn Sneakers ahead of me. I love it. His name is Sneaker.
That's awesome. Well, look, next time we're in Chicago.
Chi-Town.
We'll be sure to hit y'all up because y'all do it right.
Nice. All right. So that was, we always get one good email or one good voicemail and then one bad voicemail. It's like good cop, bad cop. So here's our next one. It comes from our buddy from last week, Tommy Gunn.
Why? Why?
Is he jerking off? Like, listen to all this grunting.
No, I know Teledictronics when I hear it.
Why? Why?
He obviously does not have a an Admiral Adama above his bed. Not performing well, it seems.
No, this is what happens when you try to use to do Teledictronics with the old like Xbox, the Duke controllers, the big black
dude,
bread
those
boxes.
Those would rumble your dick into the next millennium. Are you kidding me? I wanna, that shit comes with the warning. Do not place on dick.
Why did you insult me?
You know,
I'm not a terrorist. I'm actually a nice guy. And fuck, I mean, I'm a nice guy, and you call me a terrorist. I just tried to give you some constructive feedback. Guess I shouldn't do that on the best fucking, worst fucking piece of shit podcast ever. Fuck. Oof, anyway, my next piece of constructive feedback is that I would actually enjoy if you could bring the black comedy guy back. I mean, he was good. You know, he would bring some quality to the show.
We sorely lack it.
We can't have quality.
In our defense, we did try and get him this week. Maybe we'll be able to get him next week, so we'll see.
For once. Yeah, no, I also liked his baritone voice. He sounded like a very nice guy.
We could set up a date.
I would like to meet him.
My life.
We get to go back. Wait.
I would like to meet him at some point in my life. So, please at least let me hear his voice again.
Why? So you can make these noises?
Why?
You gotta stop having so many grunts when you email us. This shit's too easy.
Oh my goodness! Listen.
Well, that's it. We're having a new contest. It's Sin to Win, You win a date with Andre Meadows, blacknerdcomedy.com.
Here's our first submission.
We'll make it happen. Send us voicemails of you committing acts of sin.
See, we have to have people like this. Like, we have to have both, right? The good cop and the bad cop. Because without that, look, listen, people like you, what do we call him? What's his name?
Nico.
Nico Bellic. Right. Nico Bellic, you keep us on track. You keep us straight and narrow, right?
All right, so let's see. That's all we got for this week. Do we have a stump? Are we axing stump? Nobody's sent in anything, so do we want to axe
stump? Kill the stump.
Play some sad music. This is the official death of stump.
No more stump.
All right.
Oh, just as a side note, I don't know. Did you talk about this last show? Blake Buck has been practicing beatboxing for his DJ act.
Look, we know how to do it. All right, I told you. I'm just.
Oh yeah, He's got to hide that power until.
Hide that power. Power.
TK, this is the best damn podcast ever. Do you have something for us? We're excited. Is there a story? What were you doing when we called you up? Good. Okay.
Now, if you really wanted points, what you should have done, if you went back in time, you should have gone back in time again and gave this to us before we actually called you for battle in the first place.
That would have been amazing. And stock tips. Hey, guys, there's a recession coming.
Invest in Teledictronics. It's going to blow up.
Literally.
Nice. I got it.
Excellent. Love it. Love it.
So it's the three of us.
Right. We have crowns.
Now, I...
That's right.
And,
Okay. Scary eyes. That's fine. This is a... Well, listen. This is a very worthy offering. So, awesome.
Do the listeners of this podcast should replace the pictures of Adama on their ceilings with this picture.
Then you will perform.
Yes.
Nico Bellic, take notes.
Wait, where is he?
Why?
Well, all right. This is
excellent
good because
work,
this
sir.
Is you've won battle. We haven't had a winner in a very long time. We've had a dry spell.
Wait a minute, is that like a wart on my face I see there? Uh-oh.
No, that's your ear, dude. That's like the side of your ear.
Oh, I see, that's like, well, that's yeah. Right, because there is no blemishes on this face.
No, that's your ear. Don't worry about it.
All right, well, excellent work, sir. Congratulations, you win battle.
See ya.
All right, well, that does it for this week of the best damn podcast ever. / I need to start saying this, Big Hot Show, because we're trying to merge these two heats ever so slowly. Oh, special shout out to Pseudo Sushi, which is hard as hell to say. He's going to be helping get our site more integrated and fixed up. So we'll see how that pans
Excellent.
Out. Thank you for your help, sir. If you want to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com or call us up at 845-BATTLE-9. Also, if you'd like to donate to us, it's donate@bestdamnpodcastever.com, and you'll find links to donate on the website as well at bighotshow.com. We got to thank Peachy for putting together the audio, doing an excellent job. And finally, guys, this is our 50th show, which we were supposed to get a present for.
We were. I have not seen I've
seen no box arrive.
Right. None.
So I tell you what, since we didn't mention this, a long time ago, for those of you who don't know, we put out a call for our 50th show. We demand a present.
That's right, and then we went dark.
And we went dark for a few while, and no one heard from us. But you're going to get 5 episodes to shape up.
5.
So by episode 55, we better have the present on episode 55.
So we can talk about it.
Right, so we want to talk about it on 55. So you need to have it here by 55.
Now, I know you guys, y'all were cooking something up in the forums way back in the day. Y'all might want to start them engines again, get that going.
You need a mailing address or something, we can, you know, we can
hook arrange that. Yep.
I'm not going to say it on the show, but if you private message us, we'll hook you up. All right, so we demand present, and we demand it now. You have four and a half episodes. So get on it. So from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm Teledick Donix.
And I am Admiral William Adama.
We'll see you next time.
Fans of the show, you know, Oak Town, we get it right. Chi-Town, we also get it right.
We also get it right. 'Go ahead and describe it, or did you describe it on the phone?'
All right, so
he'll put Peachy. Just make it sound cool. Yeah. He's got us.
You got it.
Make us sound intelligent.